What is up, party people? Welcome back to the Miss Maxima. I am Sarah.
And I'm Delaney.
And we had such a fun time last week recording that Q&A. I was going to say filming that Q&A. We do not do videos.
Ha!
No. No, because let me tell you, we have faces made for radio.
Yes.
But we had so much fun answering them. I liked that they were a little more in depth than our original Q&A. Mm-hmm. There's just so much about the Harry Potter world that I feel like we could do Q&As on. So we'll do them every once in a while once we stack up some good ones. And as like a little reminder, we love when you guys submit questions for us or content for us. You can submit them anytime. You don't have to just wait until we say we're doing a Q&A. Email, tweet, do whatever. And obviously, just like everything else, spoilers, some language, mature content, opinions. This one's going to be opinion, because, hell yeah. I have been so excited to do this particular episode. We are doing the characters, underrated, overrated, and why are they even in the series? Oh my gosh. I'm so excited.
Yeah, aka the episode that's going to piss everybody off.
Yes, because... Well, you guys already know that we are not Snape fans, and Snape is in this. He will still get an episode eventually. We are going to wait until people love us enough to not stop listening after our Snape episode to do the Snape episode. So it's going to be a little ways away, because that's going to be a tense one.
That's going to be seething.
Seething, because let me tell you, I've polled people on Snape as a character before, multiple times on different platforms, and I've always gotten almost a dead split over whether or not he's good. And we just happen to both be non-Snape redeemers. So we might try and get a Snape apologist on the podcast with us when we do that, just to try and give it some fair play. But we'll obviously give him his moments when appropriate. I still think he's a piece of shit. Okay.
Yep.
That being said, this week's, we're going to dive into the Pensieve, little corrections corner. We talked about this last episode, but it actually kind of cut out. So in case you guys didn't hear us say, we talk about Dumbledore like he is an Animagus. We never get canon confirmation. So I think we said that, but I don't know that it like got into the podcast. We know he was super accomplished, and we know that he helps McGonagall become one and also learn all about transfiguration. And like, she is obviously like the expert at that craft, but he is a really talented wizard. So I think it's fair to assume he may have been one. And then as like some additional information, the registry for an Animagus didn't start until the, I can't read today, until the 12th century. So 20th, not 12th. Wow, you guys, I am so
big difference
about it. Big difference. But at that point, Dumbledore would have been like 150 years old.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be on the list anyways if he became one like kind of during school, which seems to be, at least from the people that we know who are in Animagus, that is like the time period that they do it in.
Right.
So that would be when he was in school in like the 1890s. So he wouldn't be on a list anyways because they weren't registering people yet. So we don't get any canon confirmation, but you know, I like to think that he was, because I can just see him being something so obscure that he just like becomes when he doesn't want to talk to people who come to his office.
Yeah.
Like, that's my thought for it. But anyways, just a little supplemental information. We do not have canon confirmation that he is one. However, we prefer to think that he was.
I mean, yeah, I think that someone who helps McGonagall become one and teaches transfiguration and becomes the head of the transfiguration, I feel like maybe.
I feel like maybe. And if nothing else, like, Dumbledore as young Dumbledore, which we kind of have gotten hinted at from the Fantastic Beasts series, he loved magic for the sake of magic. So even if he wasn't, like, he didn't want to use the fact that he could turn into something as like something crafty, I feel like he would have just done it because like it was a feat to accomplish.
Because
there are not a lot of people that are Animagus. It is very infrequent.
Right.
So it's a very small percentage of the population because it's hard. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
So
I definitely feel like he was.
Yeah, I do too.
All right. Moving on to our weekly wizarding question. So this one is Sarah's, and I 100% agree. And I think we've touched on it before in previous
podcasts. Bit, yeah.
But, like, why don't people use nonverbal magic?
Like,
why?
At least more. I know, I totally understand that you don't need wands to perform magic. they just help to channel it. So it mm-hmm. makes it easier. And I know that some nonverbal magic is really difficult because it requires like practice and concentration, but yeah. So does magic in general.
I was going
to say, that's
why
people
magic.
Go to school.
Right.
So you would think that people would do nonverbal magic for like the everyday little things.
Right.
But like, we see so few instances, even in the case of like, oh, bring me that book or start the pots cleaning or
right.
pack up my bookcase. Like people use verbal wanded magic for all of it.
Yeah. Or even, or like, okay, so maybe not nonverbal magic. Why don't we use like a non-wand magic? Like
wandless magic should be a thing.
Why aren't these things taught more?
Right. So that's what I'm wondering. If they wanted to create a culture of people that were able to do it and they wanted to create, I'm going to put in air quotes, superior witches and wizards, mm-hmm. wouldn't they teach them how to do this? Like if people yeah. could do wandless nonverbal magic, they would be basically like gods.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that would be, so why not start teaching that from a young age? Hogwarts right. is so wand centric. In like a big way.
And like we just said, like transfiguration is hard, but they teach people that.
Exactly.
Like they teach exactly. people how to do that.
And we can think of one instance of really big nonverbal magic that we literally just talked about. Being an animagus is nonverbal magic. It is nonverbal right. transfiguration. So right. like it's out there. I yeah. want to know why don't they do it more? Maybe it's because it's just part of the wizarding aesthetic, like right. you use wands. But then, yeah. you know, the dark and terrible forces of people who have risen to the ranks of being great or terrible or powerful or whatever all do some form of wandless and or nonverbal magic.
Right.
Voldemort does, Dumbledore does, Grindelwald does. Like these people all do it. So obviously it's a like a point of pride.
Yeah.
Why don't more people do it? Maybe it's really, yeah. maybe it's so hard and I just don't realize that it's hard. But like little kids do nonverbal wandless magic. It's right. accidental, but yeah. they're able to do it. So I almost feel like maybe this is kind of like a ministry thing where they're able to rein people in a little bit because like they can't control kids who do magic. But possibly. Once they get to Hogwarts, they're teaching them how to, quote, control their powers and like only do certain magic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because we only see instances of nonverbal or wandless magic that's like pretty voodoo-esque.
Yeah.
Like it's never talked about positively. Maybe it's just the instances we see, but we just don't see that much of it. And I feel like if I was a witch, I'd be all about that shit, man. I don't want to have my wand all the time.
Yeah.
Where However, do you put it?
Right. However, I think it's Bobaton Academy. They either focus on either wandless magic or nonverbal magic. I think it's wandless.
They're big on wandless magic. Right. So obviously it's a thing.
Right.
Like, their people, their point of pride is that they can do so much wandless magic. So why do they emphasize it? And then Hogwarts is so wand-centric.
Yeah, it may be. Maybe it's a cultural thing.
So that was my only other thought is maybe it is because we know, well, not from Goblet of Fire movie, but like in the book, they talk about how like that's the hallmark of the academy is that they right. do wandless magic. So maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe the British wizards or Scottish wizards or wherever we've decided Hogwarts is, maybe they just, you know, they're big on wands. I mean, they have one of the only noted wand makers. Right. So maybe it's like a economic thing.
Maybe. Or maybe it's like their own version of pride, like having a wand.
Having a wand. Yeah, because, I mean, not everyone can have a wand. There are wizards who wands don't choose them.
Right.
So maybe. I don't know.
Mm. We went way down the rabbit hole.
Well, I just think, I don't know. It's just one of those things that, like, the first thing I thought of is, like, man, I would want to be able to do magic without my wand.
Oh, like, for sure.
Because the wand is not, it's magical, but it is not the magic. The magic is inside. So anyways.
And we see a lot of issues where, like, people's wands get broken or something, and they're, like, magic is screwed up. And it's like,
They're basically, yeah, Ron is useless without a wand. Like,
right.
Hello? Yeah. So, very practical. You need to be able to do wandless, nonverbal magic. Maybe not right. nonverbal, but definitely wandless.
Definitely wandless.
Definitely
yeah,
wandless. Sure. Okay. So, I'm glad that we talked about that so in depth. And so now, we're going to talk about something way more fun. We are going to talk about the characters of Harry Potter, the ones that we love, the ones that, well, this isn't even the love and hate episode, the ones that are way overrated, the ones that we think are so underrated. And then just for funsies, we're going to throw in some what the fuck characters at, on the back end, because there are actually a couple that we came up with that there's one in particular I really want to talk about. Blaise Zabini. Get ready. Yeah. Because what the fuck, JK? So just something to keep in mind while we kind of go over this. There are way too many characters for us to adequately cover all of the overrated, underrated characters in Harry Potter. There is, I mean, you guys have read the books. You know about it. So what we tried to do is pick two big underrated, two big overrated, and then just a couple that we want to know kind of why they exist. So if you have underrated and overrated characters that just make you seethe inside when you see people loving them, hit us up. We want to know about it because we probably feel the same way passionately.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, because actually you've got some people that you said are overrated.
Yeah, that you say are underrated. Yeah, so
maybe not.
So maybe not. We might not. We might not feel the same way. We might write you a strongly worded letter disagreeing, but that's okay.
One of us might feel the same way as you. Yeah. And one may not.
There's a 50-50 that we're going to agree with you. And then you may come up with characters that, like, didn't even make our list. So,
yeah.
Now,
I had a hard time with multiple overrated. I only got one overrated. But it's it's one I'm really passionate about.
Yeah, it's one I'm really passionate about, too. You guys already know who it is. But let's kick it off with our underrated, because, God, these are our unsung heroes. And you guys hear me preach every week about her. Madame Pomfrey is so underrated. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
She, now, to be fair, she gets so much more coverage now than she ever did when the books were coming out, because she she's technically a minor character, but she gets a shout out in literally every single book.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, like she is an institution, you guys. She works so hard. You've heard me say it before. The woman puts in work. One, she lives year round at a school full of people doing dangerous stuff, which means she is always busy. She is the only medical caregiver. She's literally the only medical staff we ever hear about.
Which is crazy considering how many Quidditch injuries there are.
Considering how many people that are there. You guys, if you don't know, there's a huge national debate on staffing ratios for hospitals and nurses right now. And there are a couple states that are voting on it. Fucking Hogwarts needs to get on this bill. Her ratio is like 7,000 to 1, or however many people are Hogwarts. There's like thousands of people at Hogwarts. So,
but yeah, whatever. It's she's the only one.
She's literally the only one.
Shit.
On top of that, and this is actually the reason I think that she is so underrated. People kind of forget that she literally every instance is only looking out for the best interest of the kids she's taking care of. Yes. Most importantly, Harry. Everyone is constantly trying to pry information from him, get him to do the debrief, get him to get up and go on another deadly adventure. And she's like, she's shutting down Dumbledore. She's like, Harry's going to get some rest now.
Yeah.
And you're all going to leave. And when he's healed, and when I say that he's okay, then you can come and talk to him.
Yeah.
And we, like, at the end of most of the movies, we get, like, the hospital scene, because he always ends up in the hospital. And we don't really get the feel for how much she actually does. So she's definitely one of my big underrated characters, mostly because she's doing a service that somehow is like not that important to wizards, but is important to wizards' well-being. So I just feel like she's, I love her.
She's severely underrated.
She's severely underrated. I am also in nursing school, so I just think that she's bae. She's awesome.
Go ahead with your next underrated. We'll just go that way.
So my next underrated, and this is
one I wholeheartedly agree with.
Well, and I think a lot of people love this character. A ton of people love Lupin. Remus is, he's a character that you just can't not love. You kind of get some mixed emotions about him in 6 and 7, but for the most part, you just, you love him. But it doesn't seem like people truly appreciate who he is and what he does. Because even if you take out the werewolf stuff, he's got just as sad of a background as Sirius. And people feel so sad for Sirius that he lost James and he had a hard life growing up. And Remus's family was not great to him, and he lost his best friend too. And then his other best friend went to prison for murdering a bunch of people. Yeah, so I actually think he has it harder.
I do too.
And he doesn't go rogue like Sirius does, and I don't know that people give him enough credit for keeping the level head that he does. He also offers Harry an opening to his parents' life in a way that's not forcing him to fill any other roles. And this is a complaint that I think is just a general tenet with Sirius, is that Sirius tries to make Harry James. He does. And you can't do that. They're different. They're very different. They have their flaws are so different, and they're written to be so different. And Lupin never, I don't think even once, attempts to fit Harry into that mold. I think he sees him as exactly who he is and appreciates Harry and empathizes with him about what he's having to do. Because Sirius is always like, oh, this is kind of like a fun game we're playing in this war. And Lupin kind of appreciates the severity of the situation. He cares for all his students, not just the trio. He is a great teacher. He's like the only person who's a good defense against the dark arts teacher.
Yeah.
And then he, and like, just on top of all of that, he lives and works with a bias that people have against him. And when we first meet him, nobody knows that he's a werewolf. And so he can kind of go under the radar. But obviously at the end of Prisoner of Azkaban, people know. Mm-hmm. And he lives the rest of his life with this huge stigma.
Yeah.
And he's understandably annoyed with people about it, but he doesn't get that sense of bitterness that he would be totally entitled to have. And I just think that his emotional maturity and his ability to stay rational and level-headed in situations is overlooked, because people love him as a character. And, you know, he's a marauder, and like, he's in the Order of the Phoenix, and he, you know, he's a werewolf, and he marries Tonks, and she's cool. But all that aside, he's just such a genuinely good person.
He is.
I find myself getting so frustrated. I'm reading Deathly Hallows now, and I'm getting so frustrated with him because he's like kind of being a dick, but it's the only time we meet him in the third book. It's the first time he's truly been just a dick about things. And I just feel like he's a moral person. He's a team player. He's a good person in general. And I know that a lot of people love him, but I want people to love him because he's just like, he embodies the person that you want on your team.
Yeah, definitely.
In a really awesome way. So those are my underrated. Madame Pomfrey, props to you for keeping Hogwarts children in one piece. And Remus Lupin, thank you for appreciating Harry for who he was and giving him an opportunity to understand his parents and understand the life that he was born into, because nobody else does. Lupin is the first and only person that does that for him. So that touches my heart. Those are my OG top underrated characters.
Yeah. And I would definitely put both of them on my list. But I decided to go a little bit different route because obviously I don't want to have the same ones. So, but this next one, my first underrated, Sarah does not believe is underrated. Sarah believes is overrated. And we'll go into that later, but I do understand why you think that. But
so I want to just, as like a side note, I can think a character is overrated and love them.
Yeah.
And I can think a character is underrated and not feel a particular affinity for them. This is not the love and hate episode, because we'll have a love and hate episode. So I have nothing against this character as a character because I love him, but also as a character, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think your thoughts are justified with that. But I always think that Hagrid is a little bit underrated in certain ways. So,
and I agree with you. I do think he's underrated in a few niche ways as a character. I do.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. So here's my reasoning. He's not perfect, and we know that. And we'll bring that up later. But he does so much for Harry and the crew and Dumbledore, like, and the school as a whole. He's fiercely loyal. Fiercely loyal to Dumbledore and Harry.
Not just Dumbledore. Because he's always like, you're not going to disrespect Dumbledore in front of me and all that. But, like, he's so loyal to Harry.
He's so loyal to Harry. Mm-hmm. And he truly cares for him. I would arguably say he's the first person who's ever cared for Harry. Like, he brought him to...
Quite possibly.
Yeah, he brought him to the Dudleys. He brought him away from them. And then later again, he brings him away from them for good. But so he's incredibly brave. incredibly brave. I mean, he stands up to multiple Death Eaters. He stands up to, like, ministry hacks and, like, freaks them out. He stands up to giants. He stands up to centaurs.
He stands up to Voldemort.
He stands up to fucking Voldemort. Exactly. So he stands up to all these people, and he never complains about it. He never complains about the situation he's in. He went to Azkaban multiple times.
Yeah, unjustly, by the way.
Yeah, both times.
Both times, yeah. And very unfair.
Yeah, and he's always putting himself in danger to help Harry and Dumbledore in the school, and he's constantly going into the Forbidden Forest, which I would... No thanks.
Now, okay, in all fairness, I think he likes it.
Oh, yeah, I know, but...
Like, still. He likes... Yeah.
But, like, he's not an idiot. He knows it's dangerous. But he's also been persecuted his entire life for being different and half-giant, similar to Lupin.
Yes.
But he still continues to be uncommonly kind to people. He's a really kind person.
He is. And
I think he sees the best in people in general. And that's where it gets, like, weird with his little monster things. And it's like, this is a giant spider. You don't need to be friends with him. But even the giant spider was like, Hagrid's a good dude.
Yeah. And I think that he sees the best in people and tries to, because he was never afforded that opportunity growing up. Obviously, right. He's like, it's a lot more obvious with him than with Lupin that, like, there's something different about him. Right. And Hagrid is portrayed, and it's always kind of miffed me, like, a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, that he's portrayed as being kind of stupid. I understand why his character is written that way. He, in the sense of wizarding, did not finish school. So you would think right. that anyone who doesn't finish school, because, like, he got kicked out pretty early in his career. Yeah. So, I mean, like, he's kind of portrayed as stupid, but, like, he's not nice because he's stupid. He's nice because he's nice, which I've always appreciated about him. And he does show an affinity and love for Harry as a baby. He's the person who's, like, other than McGonagall, who's like, Dumbledore, we shouldn't just leave this baby here. He's like, you know, this baby's really small. What if we just don't drop him off? And Dumbledore's like, we have to. And Hagrid's like, but do we have to?
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that he does so much for Harry and for Dumbledore. I have always found the relationship between Hagrid and Dumbledore to be incredibly awkward for me, though.
Really?
Yes, because it seems like Hagrid is loyal to Dumbledore, and Dumbledore and Hagrid have a friendship. But sometimes I wonder if it isn't built on a sense of obligation as repayment. And that's always made the relationship a little more complicated for me, because Dumbledore technically keeps Hagrid around when he doesn't have to. But then Dumbledore also gives Hagrid a job and a status that's, like, pretty not great, which in comparison to other jobs that he would have gotten as someone who didn't complete school is probably better. I mean, the only other person we see who doesn't do that is Filch, and he's a squib who's a janitor. Yes. So I don't know. It's always complicated because, like, Dumbledore likes to drink with Hagrid. We know that. We see it happen. But Dumbledore, he speaks highly of Hagrid, but only in very particular ways. And it's just always seemed like the older I get, the more complicated the relationship seems. But I definitely think that there's something there.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with that.
I don't know either, but I don't see it as obligation. I see it as just Hagrid. Like, that's just how he is. I mean, he was loyal to Harry and the trio, like, when they have done not a damn thing for him. I think that's just who he is.
The trio does a lot for Hagrid that they should not do for Hagrid.
I know. No, I'm not talking, like, through the series. I'm talking, like, at the beginning. Yeah. Like, he's loyal to them right off the bat.
Yeah.
So that was my thing, is that he's incredibly brave, and people don't give him enough credit for that. He's fiercely loyal, and he sees the best in people, even though he's seen the absolute worst people. I mean, he went to school with Tom Riddle. He's been in it since day one, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Hagrid's underrated in those ways. And my other underrated character is Arthur Weasley.
Yeah, Arthur Weasley. Man, he almost was my second. I fucking love Arthur Weasley.
I do, too. And he does not get enough credit.
For anything. Or pay. He doesn't get paid enough either.
Yeah. Like, so he's working his ass off at the ministry.
Yeah.
And he is... Like, he was, at some one point, he's doing, like, overnight raids and shit and, like, not getting paid, basically, for it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. And, first of all, like, that's a lot in general. But, at the same time, like, he's also, again, really, really nice. just, he wants to see the best in people. He doesn't think that Muggles are beneath wizards. He loves Muggles. He takes Harry in as his own, even mm-hmm. though he knows that it's kind of, that it's putting his own family in danger. And one of my favorite things is when he punches Lucius Malfoy in the face.
Yeah, in public.
In public.
In public.
Because he's a dick. And he was just like, you know what? Most of the time I'm going to be nice. But you know what? You're a fucking dick. And I'm going to punch you in the face.
That is a direct quote, guys. That is exactly how it goes down in the books.
It is. And we wouldn't know that because we did a disservice and didn't put it in the movies.
The movie book episode's going to just roll in steaming hot one of these days.
It is, yeah. Because that's one of my top ones. How did that not get put in the book? But I think one of the ways that it shows how incredible Arthur is that he's one of the most important father figures to Harry's life, and JK yes. was going to kill him, but she literally couldn't do it. And I just want to remind everyone that this is the woman who killed Dobby and one half of the twins. Not both the twins, just one half. The worst half. You know, like, just let's just take one of them away. She did that, but she couldn't physically bring herself to kill Arthur. If that doesn't tell you how incredible Arthur is, I don't know what will.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to know much about Arthur to think that he's just, like, the greatest. And I know that he gets kind of a goofy, like, handoff from people about stuff. But yeah. This is the man who has a ton of kids he's trying to support. He mm-hmm. is the only person who has an income in the family when we meet them. Yeah. His family literally has nothing to offer and brings in an extra child. And then eventually right. brings in another one because they also, like, pseudo-adopt Hermione. So,
yeah.
He's basically just like, la-di-da-di, everybody. As long as you're being a nice person, we're going to take care of you. He takes great care of his family. He does a lot for wizarding social justice. I mean, he is fully aware of the reputation that his family has, and he never once falters in his beliefs. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I love Papa Weasley very much. Yeah.
He's one of the purest and most moral people in the entire series.
Very much. Yeah.
All right. Want to get into the overrated?
Yeah. So overrated. You guys already know that both of us are going to say Snape is overrated. And it's Snape is not overrated because I think he gets too much page time. Snape is not overrated because I don't think he's a wonderfully written character. Snape is not overrated because I think he's not important to the story. Snape is overrated because Snape is shit.
He is
a crappy dude. I know there are so many Snape apologists, Snape redeemers, Snape maybe is okay, or nothing justifies how Snape treated kids. Nope. Even if we ignore how he treats Harry, think about how he treats Neville. Think about how he treats Hermione. Think about how he treats any other house at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And tell me that one good action justifies the entire path that he got there, because he didn't just treat kids like shit and verbally and physically abuse them. He didn't just have open biases that damage children in their school years, which are very formidable years for kids. Mm-hmm. He stands by and watches his coworkers be murdered.
Yeah.
He lets awful people get into Hogwarts. They destroy the place that we love. And everyone thinks that because he did one good thing in the end, which honestly was a selfish act. He did it for himself. He didn't do it for anybody else. It was a selfish act. He wasn't doing it for Lily. He was doing it in spite of Lily.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just, the path that he took to get there does not excuse the actions. I think that you can do a good thing and be a shitty person. I think you can be a shitty person who does a good thing. I don't think that they're mutually exclusive, and I don't think that he is able to be redeemed because, guys, I just can't. I'm sorry.
No. And this is going to get too far in, but I'm going to do it. I hate the people who say, like, oh, well, it was part of the act. He had to keep up the act to be able to be a double agent. He didn't have to actually physically torture and, like, mentally and abuse children, okay? He just didn't have to do that. And he also didn't have to, put up with everything that he did. He liked it. Shut the fuck up. He liked it. It's who he is. It's who he is as a person, fundamentally, and you're wrong.
Well, I mean, people are like, he had to do it. I'm like, one, Snape goes home over the summer. Like, he doesn't stay at Hogwarts.
Right.
But there are no other infiltrators at Hogwarts. No one would know what he was doing behind closed doors at Hogwarts. And he's obviously a master of blocking mind reading, because that's the whole thing, is that Voldemort could never read his mind to know that he actually really loved Lily, blah, blah, blah. Right. He could have been just kind of a dick, but not like a shitty person.
Abusive. Yeah. Yeah.
It would have been fine.
Right.
I think, and people are always like, well, you know, when undercover cops have to stand by and watch people do drugs and get murdered and sleep with prostitutes, it's the same thing. No, it's not. So let's just not even go there. So yeah. Snape, overrated. That doesn't mean that I don't think his character is awesome.
Right.
His character is awesome. I think his character is overrated.
He's an incredibly complex character. It's just who he is as a person fundamentally is overrated.
Yeah. Overrated. Yep. So that we both have, that's our Snape argument for that whole thing. Yep. Mm-hmm. My second overrated is Hagrid. So let's dive into it. Hagrid is a really nice dude. And then I have in little parentheses, he's a gentle giant, which I don't know. I got a kick out of it, but that's just me. It's not that he just has so many flaws. It's that he causes a lot of issues and doesn't take responsibility.
True.
Which is irritating for me because there are enough problems going on. People are constantly throwing blame. Hagrid has had people push off their things onto him that have caused him to go to wizarding prison before, and he still doesn't know the importance of taking responsibility for his actions.
True.
That bothers me. Yeah. He gets included in a lot of areas that I don't think he should be included, like Harry's safety for the most part. He's so loose-lipped. We see it from book one. I mean, the whole point and the whole story-driven plot element of whatever's of Philosopher's Stone is that Hagrid gets drunk at a bar and releases Hogwarts secrets to a stranger.
Yeah, it's probably not good.
Okay, he does this in every single book. There is not a single book where he's like, I shouldn't have said that. He says it all the time because he shouldn't. He also, he's not nice to the trio when none of them take his class in Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah. Which
people are like, well, it's because I hurt his feelings. But they didn't take it because, like, they didn't give a shit about Hagrid. They had to choose which classes they were going to take for their NEWTs. They had to cut stuff from their schedule. They felt really badly about it. And they were going to go talk to him about it. And he was a dick to them. Which, for kids who do so much for him, I think is ridiculous. Hagrid is loyal to them from the start. But they absolutely prove their worth in that friendship. Hermione spends the entire Prisoner of Azkaban building a legal defense for him. Like, they do so much for him. Pressures them into smuggling a dragon for him.
Yeah.
Grop
situation.
Oh my God. That's such an irresponsible request of a bunch of like 13-year-old or 14-year-old kids. Like, hey, this is my half brother who's a giant, and I might not be around, so I need you to watch him. Okay, bye.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
irresponsible. I just feel like he is irresponsible, and I don't know if it's because his character is supposed to be dim-witted, so he doesn't know he's being irresponsible. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I think it's because he's emotionally and
he's a kid.
Yeah, he's stunted. Exactly. He's stunted. So
maybe
I think that's a lot of it. I mean,
maybe.
I think
that, yeah. But
he had a pretty bad childhood, and then going to Azkaban and then coming back and like living at his school his entire life. I think he's emotionally stunted.
He might be. He definitely always struck me as someone who didn't want to be the authority figure, which is cool. You don't have to be the authority figure to be the adult.
No, but I mean, his best friends in the world are like Dumbledore, who's a crazy old, like, you know, wizard.
An eccentric headmaster and some 11-year-olds. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't at all mean to say that I don't love Hagrid. Yeah. I think what he brings to Harry's life is beautiful and special. But I think he's overrated because people are like, Hagrid's just the best. And like, Hagrid has some issues. Hagrid has a drinking problem. Hagrid has a monster problem. Hagrid has a responsibility problem. Hagrid has a complete inability to follow rules problem. And Hagrid is like 50.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Yeah.
I guess I would, me personally, I don't think I'd call it overrated, but I do think that a lot of people skim over the issues with him. They skim over the flaws. And they're like, they act like they don't exist when they definitely do, and he definitely is problematic sometimes.
Yeah, he's problematic. And then I kind of have, like, a tack on third, and this one's gonna light the internet on fire, but Molly Weasley is a little overrated for me. I talk about how much I praise her because she's a great mom, and I love her, and I love the Weasley family, and I love the Weasley parenting. I think they're awesome. Molly Weasley has some girl issues. And I think that people brush over it. So I wouldn't say she's overrated, but I think she's problematic in a lot of ways. She is wretched to Bill's fiance.
She is. I couldn't believe she acted like that. Yeah.
Now, I do think that people miss the fact that there's a very common phenomenon where mothers tend to dislike the fiancés of their sons because they're going to be fulfilling the role that the mom has fulfilled for so long. They start to feel a little replaced. They feel threatened. Generally, people grow out of that phase. Right. But she does the same thing to Hermione.
Yeah.
In Goblet of Fire. And she's known Hermione for many years. And she likes Hermione a lot at that point. So
yeah.
Molly's got some girl issues.
She does. She does.
She's a great mom. She also plays into a lot of the stereotypical domestic roles. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. That's not her character's fault, though.
That's true.
That's for our JK and the social roles episode. But yeah. So anyways, just wanted to tack her on to let you guys know that I do see that she's problematic.
Yep. Yeah, she can be.
She can be.
All right. My overrated, obviously Snape is on my list, and I had to put him up there, but we've said our piece for Snape as of now.
For now.
For now.
Literally just That's for now. Point.
Just for now. Just so that this doesn't turn into a Snape episode. But my overrated
is yeah shut your set, dirty mouth
that's going to set the fandom on fire, because my overrated is Peeves. He's shit. He's absolute shit. I don't understand why everybody's freaking out about Peeves and why everybody's like, he wasn't in the movie. Good I'm glad he wasn't in the movie. He's fucking pointless in the book. All he does is stir up mayhem for no reason. Nobody likes him. Can we just talk about that? Nobody likes him. He's pointless.
He's supposed to start mayhem. He's a poltergeist.
I know, but he's pointless.
He's like, not what? Pointless. Poltergeists are the German manifestation of teenage angst. He's literally destined to be at a boarding school of teenagers.
I know, but why does he exist? That's what I'm saying.
Why do any of the ghosts exist?
Accurate. I fully agree. But Peeves is... I'm only picking on Peeves because everybody like counts that as like one of the things that like they can't believe wasn't in the movie. And I'm like, I fully understand why it wasn't in the movie. The people probably read the books and went, that's fucking stupid. Take that out. And I said, I would agree with that. I totally disagree.
I totally think that the ghosts are used as such a good plot device to give essential information without having to ask for it. I think that Peeves is totally justified in being at Hogwarts. I think that you need to finish the books before you make a final decision on that.
Nah. I hate Peeves. I hated him from the second I read about him. I don't like him. I think it's stupid. The only time where I was like, okay, that was a good part, was in Order of the Phoenix, where he like salutes the twins. It's like, okay, that was bomb. The rest of it, get him out of here. I don't like him.
I totally disagree. Totally disagree.
Yeah, well... anywho, moving on to our
we got a couple what the fuck characters. So just to hit it off, Gromp, what the fuck.
I wanted to put that one, that we'll just consider that one on my list too, because literally, why is he
like
there?
He gets introduced in I can't think of the word, Order of the Phoenix, and then like he literally doesn't exist after that. It doesn't bring any symmetry to Hagrid's life. It doesn't round out Dumbledore's army. It's just literally he acts as a mechanism for them not to die. And then that's it. I don't think that's an appropriate use of a character, especially in such a controversial way, because he represents a segment of like characters that people are crappy to.
Yeah.
And I think tie him up in a forest.
Yeah. I think that was a very lazy
I think that's a super irresponsible introduction of a character, and a super irresponsible loose end.
Because it was such a big part of Order of the Phoenix for no goddamn reason. And then it's like, oh, he saves Harry and Ron, or not Ron, wow, Harry and Hermione while they're in the forest, and then we never hear from him again.
Literally.
Dumb.
Next one is Rabastin Lestrange. You guys probably don't even know who he is. He's because the lesser known sibling. He just gets a cameo as a Death Eater. And then, like, we don't even know what happens to him. So he was pretty pointless.
Yeah.
Stupid. Ugh. So stupid.
Why even name him? Why even bring him up?
Yeah, he's not an essential part of the family tree. He plays zero role whatsoever.
Yeah.
But she does, now, JK does have a bad habit of, like, introducing random characters that are totally unessential.
Yeah.
I think she just likes coming up with fun names, which is cool. So like, names are fun, but, you know, don't.
Yeah. Just throwing in a random character with a weird name. The next one on your list is also one of those.
Well, okay, I want to talk about him last, because first I want to talk about, I totally disagree with your what the fuck character. Totally disagree.
That's all right.
He is essential.
I don't think, okay, so my what the fuck character is Filch. I don't think that what he does is what the fuck, but I don't see how, like, why creating a whole nother character to do that. Like, Snape could do the same thing. Like, any of the professors could do the same thing. Like, because what? Filch is there,
in
obviously.
In what way?
Yeah, so, okay, so Filch is just a creepy old janitor. And, like, he's used as, like, you know, the twins are, like, causing shit, and they're, like, running away from Filch and trying not to get caught by Filch. They could have done the same thing with professors that already exist. I don't understand why Filch is the character that he is, of, like, the creepy old janitor who's a squib, and I don't know if it's just to introduce the idea of a squib. I don't...
Well, no, because we meet other squibs.
Right, right. So I don't understand. I just don't understand why.
Well, okay, so when I think he was strategically placed for his big cameo in Order of the Phoenix, I think they needed to have someone at Hogwarts that they could align with Dolores Umbridge in a way that gave her validity, because nobody fell in line with her. Everyone hated her. They had to have someone who was actually in the institution who appreciated what she was doing.
Yeah, I guess.
Also, I don't know. I mean, I guess he's just an element of the don't get caught. He, in every major moment where they're sneaking around or doing something they're not supposed to be doing, he's who's there. Someone has to be associated with the cat. Honestly, I think he might just be the sidekick to Miss Norris.
True.
But, like, I can see why he's there.
I mean, I can. Okay, so, like I said, I can see why someone would need to do the things that he does, like you said, being there aligned with Umbridge, being the one who everybody's like trying not to get caught by. I just don't understand why there was a whole nother character created for that. Well, I guess
I can't think of any other character that she had already made that would have filled the role, though, because they all had very specific oppositions to the Umbridge takeover.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that she could have made one of the characters she already has.
Like, who though? Like, who would have fit that personality niche though? I can't think of any of the professors, because I mean, at this point we're five books in. She can't just all of a sudden make one of them be like, yeah, I'm, you know, kind of a supremacist.
I mean, I feel like Snape would have been one of the ones that would have been easy to do that with, but
I don't think so. Snape was a half blood who was in love with a muggle born,
and Filch is a squib. Umbridge hates squibs.
Yeah, but Filch is a squib who believes in the torment of children in a way that's violent and dangerous. Like, shitty as Snape is, he didn't think they should bring back the old system of hanging children up by chains in a dungeon, you know?
I mean, he might have. He might have just had that reserved.
And for later. Maybe. Okay, so my last what the fuck character, and this one I do want to talk about because what the fuck, JK. So Blaise Zabini, we like meet him sort of, but like we really get to know him in Half-Blood Prince on the train ride back after Draco's kind of become a Death Eater and things are getting weird, and Harry's like with his little invisibility cloak sitting on the train car watching them. Like, what does Blaise Zabini add to the story? Because she gives him all of the makings of the non-one-dimensional Slytherin character that we're looking for. He's smart, he's good-looking, and he hates Draco.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you all that you need. Then she goes on to give him a backstory that's interesting. He's part of the Slug Club because his mom's famous for being a Black Widow. She's had seven husbands who've mysteriously died and left all their money. So, like, he's got a backstory. He hates Draco. He's a smart guy. Like, obviously, he doesn't really buy into the one-dimensional Slytherin, like, purebloods are really awesome and cool, and we're the only good ones. And then he fucking doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He literally disappears.
Yeah. That's weird. I do agree. That's
so weird. She puts so much effort into making him interesting, and he's literally just, like, a flash of light, and then he's gone.
Yeah.
And this could have been...
He lives on...
He lives on the movies.
but he also lives in and lives on in the erotic fan fiction.
Oh yeah, fan fiction. Don't worry. Yeah, people love him in fan fiction because he's described as being devastatingly good looking.
Yeah,
and his mom is described as being uncommonly good looking. So this is like a beautiful family who's like wealthy, kind of has like cloud of mystery around them. He's like really smart. He like thinks Draco's not hot shit. Like, come on, develop this character. I want Blazabini, the life and times.
I agree. He is Harry Potter's Glen Coco.
Yeah. He like, develop this boy a little more. Don't give us something that's actually an interesting Slytherin character and then just be like, meh.
Four for you, Blazabini. You go, Blazabini.
You go, Blazabini. So anyways, Blazabini, if you're out there, we're sorry you didn't get more.
True, because you do sound extremely interesting.
He sounds super fucking interesting. And he sounds like he might be the only depiction of a Slytherin character who's, like, not up their own ass. So
maybe. Although, he probably is. It's just probably not shown because he's not developed.
Yeah, we never get the opportunity to know about it.
Accurate.
Ugh. So, anyways, that kind of wraps up our underrated, overrated, and what the fucks. Obviously, we only touched on a couple characters. We doubled down on some characters. So we, as always, would love to get some feedback. Pretty please let us know what you think about this week's episode. DM us on Twitter at LumosMaximaPod, on Insta at LumosMaximaPodcast, or Gmail at LumosMaximaPodcast@gmail.com. We want to do a mailbag episode eventually and read you guys all the stuff we've sent. So we're working on accumulating all that.
Yeah.
Especially for this episode, because I'm sure that there are underrated, overrated that like we just did not touch on.
Yeah.
You guys there's so many characters. You guys are probably passionate about characters that we don't care about. So let us know because we want to be passionate for you and let the world know. Also letting the world know, if you love us, let us know. You should rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you hear that segue? Wow. Yeah,
talk about getting good at this. I don't know. It just makes us feel really good when people leave us 5-star reviews, which if you're not going to leave a 5-star review, don't leave one.
Wow. Okay.
So.
I thought we were open to opinions.
We're open to opinions. If you want to leave your opinion in the review that you leave, great. However, we take 5 stars only. Yep. Because I'm a Slytherin and we're high class. Thank you.
Wow. I would take a 4, but it's fine.
Yeah, all right. We'll take a 4. Don't hit us with a 2. Guys, that's rude.
It is rude.
Actually, you know what? If you want to, do it, but then give us constructive feedback. But
accurate, true.
In addition to making us feel really good about ourselves, it also just helps other people find the podcast. The better the reviews are and the more we have, the higher up we get on the Harry Potter podcasting list, which apparently has like 9,000 podcasts. So
casual.
Whatever. We will be back next week with whatever because we have no idea and we'll probably decide 5 seconds before we start recording.
Yeah, we decided like what, 2 days before this?
Yeah, but you know what? This is a great episode, so it's okay.
Yeah. It's fine. Everything's fine. I'm fine.
Everything's fine. We're fine. We're adulting really good. You guys have no idea. Oh, also, if you live in any states that still have open registration for voting, you should get out and do that. You should get out and vote. If you can early vote, you should get out and early vote. You should also vaccinate your kids and let your dogs eat meat.
True.
Okay, that's it. Wow. And let your kids eat meat. In. Okay. All right. So now you know where we stand. That's going to wrap it up.
Apparently.
Yeah, I think we just went one step too far. Okay.
We probably did.
So anyways.
As per usual. On brand.
That's going to wrap it up because I don't know where else to go with this. And we will, we'll hit you guys up next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.